really understand that along the way. Because you will. If you all of a sudden next week find somebody in their 50s, full-blown SRA, DID, whatever you want to, chosen one, then you're going to, and they have children, then you can almost, I mean, it's almost a fact, unless there was intervention, their children to be the same. And their children are going to be the same. And it could go down a straight four-generation line. And that's how it's been going. Now, we are going to work over, and we're going to turn, if you got the workbook anyway, to the next page, page 39, on week three here, because we're going to deal with prayer mapping, and then we got an actual practice. We're going to practice it. We're going to go through it tonight. And so we're going to take a look at that. Listen, again, we want to welcome everybody in the second hour of the week three to this course. And don't forget the archives on this blog talk will be up tonight. And then on the actual SIIU site, archives will be up probably tomorrow. And the sound quality is a little bit better. And don't forget, though, to look at the archives page of the shatterthedarkness.net/SIIU. Look at the archives, and you'll see the past, you know, MP3s, sessions. You'll see a whole bunch of resources. If you are wanting to look into the background to if you're gonna look into the background of the Catholic system and all that occurred there, at least research William Kennedy's Lucifer's Lodge, and I put a link to where you can get it free. You can get it absolutely, the entire book free for now anyway. And yes, in Canada we have numerous victims we've been, you know, interacted with. We have a Bible school way over there on the other side, right up from Vancouver, that has professors that have engaged. But mention again the Catholic system. And the download, if you want to read that, of William Kennedy's Lucifer's Lodge within the Catholic structure. And that's what's going to be. Occult Satanic Crime Course. Well, I don't know if they did that. Usually you choose that because that's not titled at all. We're going to ask you not to use Shatter Name, Ragged Edge Name, or that. I mean, just as you're coming in, you know, pick a name. So what you're going to need to do is to log in at something that you can use so that that won't be used up, okay? So you really need to log in not using the title of the course or Shatter or anything else, because it won't last. You need to log in with your own chosen name or what you put up, okay? That's important. We are on page 39. We're going to deal with prayer mapping. Listen to me carefully. It's important that you realize that prayer mapping is not... all it is making a big list. That's all it really is when it comes down to it. But it's really being wise really focused about this whole issue. And if you're going to do like we just mentioned out of those five things, one of those things praying, then that's part of all of this. So let me tell you right now, on page 39, top, prayer mapping, number one, learn to target or be really focused in prayer. And I'm going to give you 2 Timothy chapter 2. You can look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 if you want to. And you're going to find when the Spirit of God is guiding to have prayer done. I mean, prayer in the sense of who to pray for. So, did I say second? Thank you. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, again, look what the Spirit of God says. The Spirit of God says, first of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for everyone. Now, he's talking about who, and it's all about salvation, and this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills all men to be saved. But look at the different words used particularly. First of all, the Spirit of God says, first of all of us should realize that is massive priority. Second, the Holy Spirit says, I urge. That word urge, there is a, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit you know, loudly saying, come on, I urge you. You know, there's emotion behind this. That general type prayers, but one Greek word there is desis. The idea that this is very specific. That little word means like if I was, you know, just desis or desis, a supplication, a prayer, but it's very specific in this sense. If I was to tell you right now, hey, I got a prayer request. I need you to pray for my foot. Nothing wrong with my foot, but that's specific, isn't it? If someone comes forward and I'm in Chicago and they say, would you pray for me? I've got such and such going on. We have a dear, dear woman and her husband that was there. And the year before they were there, she's got cancer. She came forward and said, would you pray for me? I wanted them to come. I wanted the whole group to pray for them. So I asked the entire conference of people there, believers there, let's pray for this dear woman. I brought the man and the woman forward. Did we pray for the dog? No. Did we pray for the car? No. We prayed for her, and we asked for God to bring healing against her cancer in the name of Jesus. That's what we're talking about with this word, desis. It is the idea of specific, targeted. Here's where I learned it. Here's where the Spirit of God really taught me. I'm going to share with you. Years ago, a law enforcement agent brings to me, out of Pennsylvania, a person that I think was one of the most... They were satanically powerful, highly programmed, extremely trained, militaristically trained, everything else. They came and our staff in the beginning, because we didn't know, they were just charged up and doing warfare against us and everything else. Our staff were getting sick and they're getting tired. They're getting headaches. One day I walked away and I'm asking the person questions about their coven and the satanic background. And they're not, they're telling me some things. So here's what I did. We're walking away that night. I go home and I'm praying late and I say, Lord, all of our guys are, you know, getting sick and headaches. This is not, I mean, something's going on, and the Lord's just showing me from the inside, sub-personalities, demonized, are praying, you know, they're sending, they're doing things against you. The coven's doing things against you. And the Lord took me to this chapter in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And when I found that one little Greek word, just simply pronounced desis, or desis as I say it. It refers to a, and I'll just read the actual lexicon definition. Praying for a specific felt need, a heartfelt petition arising out of deep personal need. It has that a sense of urgency, but very specific. And so here's what I did in the beginning, years and years and years ago. I took a piece of paper out. And I felt led to do this. I put a piece of paper out, laid it down, wrote that person's name on it. And across as I wrote their name, I began to write down the information they gave me. They told me about where and places, and they gave some names, some coven names and people in the coven and stuff. So I wrote all the information down. You know what I did with that piece of paper? I called that prayer mapping. I was just writing a list. And I began to say, Lord, give me insight. I began to pray about it. And then the Spirit of God reminded me of Hebrews 11, the great things that could be done in faith. That encouraged me. So I'm praying about, God, stretch out your hands and destroy the demons and demonic powers and curses and works. Stretch out your hands to begin to invade them and deal with them. Stretch out your hands to save this person, deliver them. And I began just to pray as I felt led by the Spirit of God. And so that's all I was doing. I was just saying, Lord, and I'm writing down on that piece of paper what I felt God was, how he was leading me to pray. This is absolute true story. 3 weeks later, the police officer brings the same person back. The car door opens and they get out and they immediately begin to yell at me. And they said, what are you doing? Are you doing your spiritual warfare or something? They were shocked that we even knew anything about spiritual warfare. Actually, it's true. They saw themselves as very elite, that they were very specialized. They knew how to target Christians and churches, and they had an agenda. They saw churches and Christians as sloppy and weak and sitting around in pews and not doing much. So I had that piece of paper, I think, in my back pocket, and they yelled at me, "What have you been doing? Your spiritual warfare?" And I looked at them and I said, "Why?" And here's what they said. "Because in the last 3 weeks, we've hardly been able to get even a demon to show up." I targeted the coven. I targeted the names of the people. Acacian was coming to fight against Israel, and Moses was there. And Moses was raising his hands in the air to pray, right? Moses was raising his hands up to pray. And as long as he's interceding, as long as he's praying, God's power is on Israel, and Israel's winning. Guess what? When his hands go down and he's no longer praying, the demon-charged, demonized nation begins to win. How 700 soldiers, he's losing, so he takes his own son, does a satanic sacrifice, blood sacrifice of his son on the wall to the demon god, and the powers of darkness fell on his soldiers, and they went into a frenzy and beat Israel. The weaponization of dark powers. Dark powers can help armies. They're there. And if they're opening the doorway, if they're summoning and sending demons, if they're doing stuff, they're going to have effect. And they don't want you to know that. They want to be in secrecy. But if the Spirit of God and providentially opens up and you find out about this and you begin to pray against them, and you begin to target, and you begin to pour out that prayer, guess what? Not only can victims be found, but their stuff interrupted. And if you continue and you're going to be faithful, mark down Isaiah 62, where God says he set watchmen at the wall, and they weren't going to stop praying until he accomplished. That's what prayer is all about. Ask for God to help find the victims. Ask for God to crush the demon powers in the covens. Ask for God to invade the perpetrators and begin to deal with them. Ask for God. Seek and you're going to find. Knock and the door is going to be open. Does that sound familiar? Ask and you shall receive. So specific, desis. That's what, and you're going to have that... In the next page, we're going to lead you and show you how to begin to develop a prayer map. A prayer map is a list just based on 1 Timothy 2, on this little word, desis. I mean, if I just pray for all of you, I did that earlier. Lord, I pray you bless everybody, encourage them, strengthen them. Those are all right prayers, good prayers, general prayers. But if I call like Shane in the chat room, I ask in the Lord Jesus, I pray for Shane to be encouraged, for you to give him a word today, for you to strengthen him. And if Shane was to give me a specific request, pray for my job and my situation, and I target and I pray for his job, that's what we're talking about when I say prayer mapping. If I was to take Shane's name and put it on a piece of paper and say, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, give me insight. Give me a scripture. Lord, you lead me on how to pray for him. You keep doing that and doing that and doing that. You know how familiar and experiential you'll get with the Spirit of God leading and guiding and directing you? There's times people walk up to me at a conference and I'm already praying inside, Lord, what do you want me to pray for this person? Give me a word for them. Things like that. And in the context of really powerful prayer, you know, even giftings can be. Sometimes the Spirit of God will give you a heads up, and God, you know who the Holy Spirit is, right? And again, if you're a police officer, law enforcement, if you're in this area, and I want you to understand, I know you got to deal with the crime, but the crimes are conceived and perpetrated and advanced and covered in dark powers. And you need God. You need Christ. You need to know the authority of Christ, or you need to have believers, people that you know can come here and do that. Jesus, specific prayers that you can write down, that you know to pray, for the Spirit of God to guide you, what to pray for, what to pray against, what scripture God gives you in the context. And then you know what happened? I added other pages and other pages and other. I have a notebook behind me. It's my prayer mapping notebook. There's probably I mean, just 30, 40 pages. On the page where the title says Praying for Salvations, there's over 100 names. I can go back now and point to names on that, and there's Charlie that got saved, and there's Verona that got saved, and there's Eleanor that got saved, and I can show you where God not only gave me verses and gave me encouragement, and I kept praying for them, praying for... Can I tell you something? When you start praying for people, you're not supposed to... And when you start praying for... You're supposed to ask to get an answer. Seek that you might find. Psalm 34, I sought the Lord and he answered me. Prayer is all about getting the power of God involved and seeing God bring about the answer. His will is perfect, pleasing, and good. Yeah, it's got to be according to his will, but his will is massive and vast in what he wants. Saved people, healed people, delivered people, victims found, underground stuff shut down, authority used against the demonic realm. Right? We're not supposed to be a bunch of baby Christians for all of our lives, and that's no fun being a baby Christian. Grown up, empowered, experienced believers. Man, like you ever hear about John Knox and the Wicked Queen of Scotland? I read this in Charles Hodge's Theology years ago, and I've never forgotten it. That the Wicked Queen feared the prayers of John Knox more than an invading army. Isn't that powerful? That a believer not only prays for the advance of the kingdom of God, for the salvation of souls and the power of God in church and revivals and things like that, for healing and advance the gospel, advance the kingdom, advance. We're supposed to... It's sad the prayers we see happening. And it's sad because a lot of believers are brought into this just really terrible models of 12 seconds of prayer in a gathering on a Sunday or Saturday. It should be huge. It should be massive. It should be Acts chapter 4. They raised their voices together to God in prayer. They prayed specific. They quoted scripture. They sought the Lord for boldness. They asked for boldness. Guess what God gave them? Boldness. Acts chapter 4, the power of God came down. They were filled with the Holy Spirit again. God's power came so powerfully, he shook the building. And their boldness came and they went out witnessing everywhere, sharing the word of God everywhere. Did you see that? That's the backdrop. Don't just learn to target and focus prayer. Learn to pray with great power. Learn to pray till God answers. You pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. Isn't that what Jesus said? Men ought to pray. They should be praying and not fainting. Praying and not giving up. That's what I love about the parable about the man that came for bread. The other guy went to bed with his kids, and during the night, someone shows up, and the friend gets up, and he goes next door and knocks on the door, and, hey, I got a friend. He's hungry. You got bread. I'm knocking on the door. And the guy won't get up. Keeps knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking, and finally the man gets up and gives him all the bread he needs. Jesus used that parable to say about prayer that his shameless persistence, I like the translation from that little Greek word, a shameless persistence. I have no shame in seeking God over and over and over and over and over again, praying against the dark side, praying against demons, praying against perpetrators, and asking God to deal with them, engage them like Saul of Tarsus, or engage them like Pharaoh. One of the two. If they're going to keep doing that to little babies, if they're going to keep doing that to little girls and boys, either strike them and engage them like Saul of Tarsus and bring them to their knees and save them totally, or God, you are the God of Pharaoh, do whatever it takes to stop them. But without the prayers, nothing will happen. Without the prayer, nothing will be engaged. Correct? Sorry, we're in a classroom. I'm supposed to be just talking, right? Got to preach a little bit only to say that I'm excited that you're here and excited that you'll be involved in this. It's breaking into this deep, deep mysterium, this secret power of lawlessness, breaking in It's going to take prayer, and you pray until it's done. It's a battle. And Moses, you can't give up. You must pray through in order to find the victims. You must keep working with them to pray against the demonic and see them delivered and see the healing and help them. You must pray against the covens because all they're doing, see, back in the 80s and 90s, nobody told anybody to do this. Nobody said target the covens, target the perpetrators. You know why? I mean, nobody was doing that. But they were producing a next generation and producing more. It's time to go after the perpetrators. Hello? In the chat room, nice to finally be here. Hello, Russ and Shatter You. Welcome, welcome, dear friend. And we're glad you're here. I'm glad so many of you here. You are here by the prayers we've been praying and asking God to send the laborers. Did you know that? Yeah, that's right. You've been set up. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. You have been prayed for. We have sought God. Bring in the laborers. Bring in the workers that are going to be fierce, that are going to be strong, that are going to be out there. They're going to know how to pray. They're going to know how to walk with God. They're going to be able to lead others to Christ. They're going to stand. They're going to go praying against the dark side covens, against the perpetrators. Look how huge satanic ritual abuse is by the millions, and then human trafficking. Look how huge! The victims all have perpetrators. So I'm emphasizing in this hour, prayer mapping, that is, listing down what it is you're praying for. Mark it down. Focused prayer. Greek word desis. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And the urgency and the priority and the covet in your city, it's there. The victims are there. The lost are there. So we have to pray for the salvation, healing, deliverance. We have to pray against the demons, the perpetrators, the covens, the powers, their hidden locations. Right? I hope so. I hope so. And again, off the leading of last hour, I mentioned to you Oswald Sanders' book, Prayer Power Unlimited. A simple book. There's a lot of good books out there. And I'm just throwing it out there to say it's a good little book. You can probably get to use them for a couple bucks. Just to encourage your prayer life. I like people who were really great in powerful prayer themselves. When they write, they're writing out of the scriptures. They're writing out of experience. So under point number one on page 39 in the workbook, mark down 1 Timothy chapter 2, the specifics. Mark down Isaiah 62 about how God set watchmen on the wall. They weren't to give God rest or themselves until it was done. Mark down Acts chapter 4 as they prayed specifically, asked specifically, and got specifically, and power fell. And that's what's going to have to happen. Now, I tell you on the page 39 to take out a piece of paper, all you need to do is open your workbook, and to the left you have an entire blank page. 38 is a blank page. If you don't have a workbook, just have a piece of paper. Take out a piece of paper or use that blank page right next to you there on page 38. And what we usually say in this is write down. For example, if I was to say, and I'll do this in a moment, your city. You don't have to do it right now, but that's part of how you begin to do prayer mapping. Lord, does the Lord ever burden your heart to pray for somebody? Pray for the city? Pray for the church? If you say, Lord, how do you want me to pray about the satanic underground, about victims, about perpetrators? Mark it down. If you want to be a real powerful prayer warrior. So that should be, 1 Timothy 2. Number three, write down all that God gives you. Don't forget that God the Holy Spirit is the spirit of prayer and supplication. He's the spirit of God to teach you, to guide you, to lead you, to inspire you, the spirit of God of prayer and supplication. Does he know everything? Absolutely. Really be yielding to the Lord. Ask the Lord. I love Psalm 34 where it says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. That's what the Psalms show us again and again. And absolutely, thank you for putting Psalm 94 up. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Love it, love it. Thank you very much. Psalm 34 in the classroom, chat room. Appreciate it. Mark it down. Take a read. Point number four, the web that they are in. Now, I got A, B, C, D, F. I've got a number of things to tell you. When you think in terms of one victim, they're in a big web. I'm going to give you the web right now. If you know of one SRA, if you know of one richly abused person that is also multiple, there's about six things you can assume and you need to know without having to learn it the hard way, okay? I'm going to give you all those right now. You ready? This is under on page 39, point number four, the web that they are in, because they're just covered from head to toe in as far as a web. Under A, inside alters. Inside alters are there. Personalities. Personalities that know how to do rituals. Personalities know how to send demons and summon demons. Personalities that speak in ancient twilight languages. Personalities that can run. Personalities that will tell on you. Personalities that will punish the victim if they tell anything. Guardians, protectors, you're going to learn that along the way. I outline this deeply in the book, The Black Awakening. Inside alters. If you have met a multiple SRA DID, then they have inside alters. How do you pray for them? See what I'm going to say here? Webbing this whole situation that gives it's going to broaden your prayers. I might take the name of one victim, put it on a page, and begin to realize I have all these other personalities there, the demonization there, outside people, all that I'm going to give you. For one individual, we got a lot to pray about. Okay. Under point four, the web they are in, A, inside alters, B, the immediate family. The immediate family. In our chat room, in our classroom here, we have a victim, and they're just telling you that they have alters whose job it is to keep the secrets. Everyone that I've met, they have not only protectors to keep them from telling the secrets so that they won't get punished. They got some that's all they do is guard the secrets. Okay? You don't have to be SRA to have that too. Just the abuse alone. The immediate family, every single satanic, richly abused, DID type person, generationally, has inside alters A. B, has immediate family that are involved. Okay? In almost every single case, it would be rare and unusual not to. A mom, a dad, grandparents, there is, so you need to look around. Under C, there are going to be watchers and enforcers, inside and out. Subpersonalities or alters that are there to watch or to enforce the silence or to make sure they don't tell you anything. They will also have outside people that are watching them or come in the middle of the night and harm them. Or threaten them. We've always been told they're called enforcers. Under D, if you have an SRA, DID type person, then there's clearly a coven in the area. And if you're dealing with the individual, guaranteed the coven knows more about you already than you know about them. Okay. Very important because, we learned the hard way that dealing with an individual, they had alters that were telling on us, alters that were cult and coven loyal that would help set us up for trouble. We had to realize the immediate family weren't always there to help. They were there to keep them silent because they're part of it. Then there were watchers and enforcers that began to get phone calls, leave them alone. Because why? Under D, a coven. If you have a real victim, if you have a real chosen one, you have a real coven out there. The next one is if they have kids and they have not had intervention, they're not healed, they're not delivered, they're not saved, almost always their kids are split, have alters, are demonized, and have been brought into the coven. Almost always. You can almost bet on that for sure. And under F, there could be, but not in every case, there could be military connections. Doesn't have to be, because this is bigger than the military. The satanic ritual abuse, the underground brotherhood, this vast array is bigger than the military, but definitely from the 50s up have infiltrated and developed their stuff in the context of military. There we go. I'm giving you those so far. We're going to take time here in a few moments to practice on the next page the concept of prayer mapping, making a list, praying it over, unleashing things, and adding to it, and realizing. Again, if you was to take the name, if you pray and you meet a victim, and let's just say their name was Sally, and she's 42. That's most likely a second generation victim. That means their mom or dad or grandparents are multiple, and that's how they got into it. If they have children and grandchildren, that means most likely their children are multiples and that their grandchildren are multiples and SRA also. And you're going to want to help all of them. The good news is when God breaks in and people get saved and people get healed and people get delivered, guess what? That helps break the chain. I mean, we understand this in pedophilia, that if there's nothing that breaks the chain, they just keep doing it and doing it. And then most pedophiles, that was all done to them, right? Jesus breaks the chain. He comes to set us free, sets the captives free, opens prison doors, opens eyes. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, right? Realize that this course, this training course on satanic crimes and occult crimes, from beginning to end, I'm just going to say, we want God all over this, prayer all over this. The answer is in Christ, and that's the bottom line as we teach it anyway. I'm going to go to the next page, page 41 on the workbook. It's called the Prayer Mapping Trial page. Somebody put up in the chat room, they're asking again under number 3. Point 4 on page 39 was the web they are in. I got 6 points. A, inside altars. B, immediate family. C, watchers, enforcers. D, coven. They're connected to a coven group. E, their kids are most likely multiple SRA. And F, they could have military connections. I want you to know that as we're going over all this, and even the first 9 weeks, we're scratching the surface. It's a lot of stuff. But it's going to be interesting to see how God works. I'll give a moment here. Any questions really quick in the chat room that if there is, we can see about answering that and responding this way. We're going to go into a actual practical session here in the next 20 minutes for this second hour on prayer mapping, a trial page. It's page 41. If you don't have the workbook, just use paper. That's the easy thing. If you get the workbook, fine. Everything else that we give you and do, hopefully every single thing is going to be free. But the workbook, that's just helpful, and it becomes kind of like a suitcase with all your stuff in it. You're going to use it and use it for 9 weeks. There'll be a bigger, broader one for the second half, by the way. Well, if you got the page in front of you, page 41, we're going to do 4 things. 1, we're going to pray and ask the Lord Jesus to lead by the Holy Spirit. 2, you're going to choose a target, that is, a victim or a perpetrator or a coven. 3, you're going to write down all you know about the issue. And 4, you're going to ask God for insight and wisdom. Now, again, as you practice this and practice this and practice this, good news, God is there, going to guide you, going to lead you, going to direct you. You know why? Ezekiel 8, God wanted it to be dealt with. With Moses praying, he wanted Israel to win with his power. God wants little victims out there delivered. He wants older ones that have been... Do you realize a first-generation 50-year-old victim that is just now beginning to get out have had 50 years of their lives ruined, used against their will? Okay, four things in this, if you're listening by the archives later, taking your time, take a moment to pray. Take a minute to pray, you know, and the first thing we say here, number one, pray and ask the Lord Jesus to lead. Let's do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask by the Spirit of God, you will lead, you will guide, you'll direct, you'll just guide us in who we, you know, who, what you're going to place on our heart. And whether it's finding victims or praying against covens or, Lord, we're asking for the Holy Spirit to lead, by faith we accept that the Spirit of God's going to lead us. The Spirit of prayer is going to lead us. Number two, choose a target. Choose or focus, desis, an issue. See in larger print where it says choose a target. Write down the name of either a victim, maybe perpetrators you know about. We have perpetrators listed all over, some of which we cannot, we don't have enough evidence to bring them down, but we know that God can do things. Write down a perpetrator. How about writing down a coven area, a coven in the area? Now, once you do that, that's why I'm saying on the page, there's four primary things. First, one, two, you can throw up in the chat room just so I can let everybody else know what you're doing. If you're choosing a target, if you feel led to us, you know, are you praying for your city to locate the coven? Are you praying to engage the perpetrator? Are you praying to find a lost, you know, a victim, or do you already have one that you're working with? So choose your target. The focus. Okay, absolutely. You can target a local church, a specific church. You can target your church to say, Lord, is there any infiltrators here? Is there a victim here? Is there anything going on? Yeah, you can start with that. So just write down the name of a victim or person or institute. Maybe you're going to target law enforcement, the whole area. Maybe you're going to target the schools, the prison, the psych wards. You see what we're saying, how big it can get? Once you start writing everything down, do you see how quickly your prayer mapping pages can get? And then you write down scriptures, then you write down what you feel God's telling you, and then you write down more. And then as you pray over things and things begin to happen, then you write things down or you write down the answers. Question comes in quickly. What do I think about the New York City cannibal cop? Well, sick. I'm glad they caught him ahead of time. No, I don't know. I have no connection to know whether he's, you know, radically evil. My assumption would be even demonization there to be that radical about what he wanted. Bloodletting, blood eating, cannibalism, and the slaughter and the torture. That's really, that has a strong, I mean, I would assume there's demonization at the least, if not more than just that. Next thing is, if you write down something, whether it's a church, an institution, your city, a person's name, the next question you need to ask is, you know, what do you know? What do you know? You know, if I write down the name of a church, what do I know about that church? Lord, what do I know? What do I need to know? Do you know that in Acts chapter 8, when Philip was out witnessing, and guess what? He's out witnessing, and he's being led, and an angel, of course, helps him. And then the Spirit of God says, go, stand over there by that chariot, right? Go over there and stand. Because there was the eunuch reading in Isaiah, wasn't saved, didn't know what it meant. I'm going to tell you that in prayer, the Holy Spirit can be that specific. You can write down. He'll never contradict Scripture. God, the Holy Spirit, will never contradict Scripture, never contradict the will of God. He's only going to lead you in the will of God, lead you in Scripture. So you're going to have the Holy Spirit speaking, guiding, and leading, and Holy Spirit giving you Scripture along the way, all for the sake of God's will, salvation, healing, and deliverance. So what do you know? The next question is, what does God show you? I'm going to tell you right now, you can take your husband, your wife, your kids, someone around you, you can prayer map them. You know, what I do sometimes, I did this with pastors when I've gone to speak at churches, I just write their name down on a piece of paper when I'm back in the hotel, and I begin to pray, and I say, Lord, how do you want me to pray for them? I mean, I can pray, Lord, bless them, Lord, encourage them. And if I don't know of any specifics or they didn't give me any specifics, I don't know anything else. But what I can do is put their name on a piece of paper. I do this all the time. Lord, how do you want me to pray for them? What's their needs? And if the Holy Spirit says, pray concerning their depression, pray concerning their physical illness, pray concerning encouragement, and then the Lord gives you a scripture. There's times in the middle of that, the Lord will give me a scripture. So do the same thing. Choose what it is you feel led and you have desire you want to put down in prayer. A city, a church, a person, an institution, whatever. What do you know? Write things down. And then what does God show you? What does God show you? And you're right. God can show you, and speak to your heart and let you know that there's real demonic strongholds there or whatever. But that's again, all individually different. And you got to let the Spirit of God speak to you. And you got to let him bring you the word. But keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Let God add fuel to it, but keep praying. And then next, you know, how are you praying? And under that, I say there's two things, A and B. How are you praying? That is, what is the request? Either you're praying for the salvation, the healing, the deliverance. You're praying for revival. You're praying for the advance of God's kingdom. Or a real prayer warrior includes praying against the demonic powers, praying against and asking God to engage and bring down and expose the perpetrators. Praying against, that's important. So if you have enough and you're targeting an actual coven, you're targeting actual perpetrators, pray against their demons, ask God to come in and bring crushing blow to them. Mark down Romans 16:20. Somebody put that up in the chat room if they would. Romans 16:20. I love it. So you're praying for the advance. And I love 1 John 5. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The Greek word hoida. He absolutely hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the requests. Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Shane. 16:20 in Romans, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Amen. So if you live in a city that is oppressive and dark, it's not going to go away by itself. If it's dark powers and, you know, practices and a coven there and darks, how's it going to go away? Acts chapter 8 shows prayer, evangelism, advancing the cause of Christ is the only way to deal with it. Now, I have at the bottom of that page 41, look what I have down there. It says, here's the question. You don't quit until what? You put it up in the chat room classroom here. You don't quit praying until what? Okay. I got a couple things we can answer there. You don't quit until the answer. You're right. Until now, God may give you more to pray about. He may fuel you to pray even more. But that's the idea. Like with Moses, he never quit. He just kept praying and praying and praying and praying for God's power, advancing Israel to win. Okay. Isaiah 62, you know, God sets watchmen on the wall to pray night and day, give themselves no rest, give God no rest until it's done. Until it's done. I'm praying for Bohemian Grove for 3 years now. God, bring the owl down. God, bring victims out. God, bring exposure. God, engage the perpetrators. Right? Fasting is good. Makes you strong if you're focusing on the Lord and in his grace and so forth. So that's what I'm saying that is vital in all of this, is that that constant focus that, you know, and let God at times encourage you. And let me tell you another thing. That's why, yeah, you're right. All of you're until the answer, until the victory, until the breakthrough, until somebody gets saved. You know, I didn't give up my dad. I didn't for 23 years. I did not give up my dad. Then he got saved. That God loves that. In 1 Timothy 2, in praying like that, here's what it says. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Jesus taught, you know, men ought always to pray and not give up. And Jesus talked that story and said, you know, because of his shameless persistence, he got as much as he needed. God wills to answer prayer. We've been set up to get answers. John chapter 15, we've been chosen in Christ to bear fruit. Ask, you'll receive. Seek, you'll find. It's all set up for that, that God's extraordinary power, grace, might, powerful things come through, okay? Powerful things. Thank you. That's great. Psalm 141, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man. That's, you know what? We have a page in our larger prayer notebook. It just says the word protection at the top. When we're out with teams and going, as we're praying through everything else, praying for people to be saved, praying for the churches in the area, praying to find victims, praying against dark powers, praying to see covens uncovered and perpetrators found, praying for all these different, we have one page that just says, we begin to pray for protection. We focus on praying, Lord, protect us. Lord, protect our families. Lord, protect, you know, so that's good. Thank you. But realize that that shameless persistence that Jesus commended in reference to a person that would not get up until they got the bread, that is a excellent thing. Excellent thing. Well, tonight we're taking the second hour to really dig in on this. And I'm asking you to, if you're stepping out, if you're beginning to say, if you're stepping out and saying, Lord, here am I, begin to write these things down, and you're saying, Lord, I want to be led to the victims. Lord, you know, let me know where the covens are. See, I'd begin to do this in cities when we don't even know where they're at, but we begin to pray. If we find victims, we begin to pray, God, we did this for a number of years in Kent, Ohio, and then by God's providence, we engaged a victim that led us to the place where, all again, it goes all the way back to the 80-year-olds. From the Nazi stuff, the satanic stuff, the Black Flame, comes the next generation, her dad, looked like an Aryan, by the way, when we met him face to face. The farm and where the rituals were done. And the girl would have been at that time a third generation. Many demons, many personalities, completely tormented, and they whisk her away. They threaten me never to come on their property again. Doesn't mean I can't target them in prayer. And some things, that's why I say having a larger prayer notebook and having all this written down, we just had to develop it. So we finally just typed it up and made something. And all it is a large, major prayer list with scriptures and names and what the Holy Spirit's giving us and what we see we need to do. And we keep praying and we keep praying and we keep praying and we keep praying. And guess what? We've seen salvations. We've seen deliverance. We've met people providentially. We've got victims, you know, out of places. We have engaged coven stuff. We've seen a difference. And you know what I think? Listen carefully. I think we've only just begun. I think that we're going to see extraordinary breakthroughs. A lot of those who've been working with victims for a long time, they're all believing that God's going to really help us with extraordinary breakthroughs. Well, that's what's coming. And listen, we are coming down to the last hour. We're at almost the end. And right, you can target the Masonic places. You can do a lot of things. In our classroom chat room tonight, for those who are not here but listening later, we have a dear one in there saying that they feel the power of God. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we close the end of this one up with some prayer tonight, okay? Put some prayers, just you throw some prayers up in the chat room. I'm going to begin to pray. Father, thank you for all those who are listening. Thank you for those in the chat room, the classroom, like talking back and forth with us. Thank you for the hundreds and hundreds that will be listening. God, stretch out your hands to the victims with extraordinary healing and help and deliverance. Lord God, stretch out your hands to save and to heal and deliver. God, engage perpetrators and bring them to their knees like Saul of Tarshish and lead them to realize that they can help lives and that they need to confess, they need to expose, they need to bring out uncontested evidences also. Very important. God, we just come tonight to pray for all those here. Give boldness like Acts 4. We raise our voices together to God in prayer. God, bring boldness and strength and that fire of the Spirit of God. Jesus, we love you tonight. We praise you. We know you've sent us on a mission to make disciples, to win souls, to bring your healing. We accept the authority you've given us, and we pray against the demonic in our own areas. Deliver us individually tonight from the enemy. Deliver us from all of what the assignments are against us. God, deliver all those coming into the class and all those listening otherwise against ritual warfare and curses and spells. In the name of Jesus, we command those demons and the powers behind it be tore down, destroyed, completely bound and stopped in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, deliver us. Strengthen us. Strengthen us and move us on to pray. Give us great Spirit of God-given perseverance, and we'll pray until the answer's here, until the victory's here. God, bless every single one coming by your providence into the class. Bless every single one coming in, those listening, those checking out, law enforcement agents that are looking and listening, and those who aren't even saved. May they realize they might be here only to hear that there's a Savior that loves them, that you can know God, you can know Christ, you can come to Him, you can receive Him. Come to Christ. Power of God, fall upon us. Fall with power like in Acts 4. Guide us. Build. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray tonight. Anyone lost, anybody that needs to come to Jesus, receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Anybody that needs healing in the inside, Jesus, go to them, heal them, release them of the past pain, give them power, grant them such grace it burns away the past. Father, just unleash joy of the Lord that would be the strength of the believers. Unleash your word constantly. Unleash your kindness constantly, Lord God. We stand, Father, together against perpetrators and covens and all those who are doing things. We're asking you to do what it takes to save them. We're asking you to stretch out your hands over Bohemian Grove and whether it's an earthquake, whatever it is, bring down the high place. Miraculously bring rescue to the victims that have been shut up and caged. And God, bring down perpetrators. Bring some out so they'll confess. Bring the uncontested evidences. Lord, bring protection. But Lord, we give our lives. We don't want to shrink back. Concerning or fearing for our own lives. We want to confess and stand in the Word of God and confess our testimony in Christ. We know it's a spiritual battle, a spiritual war. Thank you again for all those inside this classroom, chat room, those listening, those by the hundreds in England, in Canada, in Australia. Father, draw others that need to be in the class, the training. Give us wisdom to help everybody the best we can. Strengthen us. Strengthen us. We give praise and honor to the Lord Jesus. We love you tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for strength and empowerment and grace and mercy. Thank you for a prayer meeting that we can have together that doesn't last just, oh God, 12 seconds. Help us to realize that we can pray and see you at work, like Rhoda's house where they prayed and Peter was, Lord, he was all in chains, but as they prayed, you sent angels. As they prayed, answers. As they prayed, steel-barred gates were opening up and you were bringing Peter right to the house. They're praying and you did it. And so right now, that's what we pray. I pray, stretch out your hands to each one. I ask you to miraculously, extraordinarily heal physically, mentally, emotionally. I ask you to unleash giftings in lives, but the power of the Spirit of God. Glorify your name. Anyone not saved, save. And anyone so weak and so backslidden, lead them to repentance and back. Father, we pray that there'll be those maybe in the secular realm that they want to know about occult crime, but they don't know about you. That without you, we just can't help. And we just can't do it. And they need help. And so we ask God, give us the boldness and the liberation and the love to witness to the people around us. And when we work with people who are in counseling centers or law enforcement or other, help us to love them. Help us to witness to them. Help us to be an encouragement to them. Help us to pray for them. Jesus, we love you tonight. And everybody together says amen and amen and glory to God. We are at the end of this second hour. We could have continued, huh? And maybe we'll do that. Maybe it'll just be an hour of prayer at some point. Well, we'll just pour up down the road when we have more stuff on our prayer maps. How's that? More stuff on our prayer maps. And then what we can do, we can begin to pray for a lot of things. Listen, the music's coming on. And we're going to take a five-minute break. Come up with questions. Come up with testimonies. When I come back, I want to hear some testimonies about what's happening and in your life and what's going on. What's God saying? Begin to build that prayer map, man. That's what it's all about. Be back in 5 minutes.